Last week, we started just a couple of weeks here as we end our summer and begin, and things will start getting crazy in the next few weeks, won't they? Whether we want them to or not, I mean, school starts and football and, you know, you love the fall. But it's just insane, and the key to our success this fall and this year will be, will we keep our ambition and our hunger focused on knowing Jesus Christ? If we get that, if we get pursuing relationship with Him, then we'll just fall deeper and deeper in love with Him. To love Him is to be changed by Him, is begin to act differently, to love people differently. And guys, there's nothing more to the journey than that. It's not complicated. Know Jesus. Pursue relationship with Him. And to the extent, students, that this fall you're able to keep your heart connected to Jesus, everything else, the peace, the joy, flows from that. Yeah, raise your hand if you believe that. Most of you do. That's good. All right, if you're not convinced now, we'll keep working on it. Philippians 3:10 last week, just a quick bring you up to date. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death. We looked at a couple of truths last week. One, we can know God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because He is alive. He lives. We can know Him. We can know God through relationship with Jesus. We looked at the fact that it's a relationship that we can enjoy, not a favor that we earn. These little kids dancing around down here, and the sweet little girls, and these little boys, you know, doing cartwheels over here and being boys. I mean, you know, they are as close to Jesus as the person who has memorized every word of this book. There are no better thans, less thans in the kingdom of God. We're all one at the cross. Amen? So we can't earn a deeper relationship with Jesus. It's a relationship to enjoy. The other truth we looked at was that it should be the driving ambition of every Christian to know Jesus. That should be the driving ambition of our life. All other ambitions, career ambitions, relationship ambitions, all come underneath that driving hunger to know Jesus more. Yeah? So today we're going to look at one thing in answering the question, how do we grow then in our relationship with Jesus? Like, then what do we do, Lance? If you say that's the big deal, well, how do I get started? Well, we could talk about prayer. That'd be good. How to sit and listen to Jesus and talk to Him. We could talk about Christian community and how we can't do life with Jesus without each other. We could talk about the church. We could talk about serving the poor. But this morning we're going to talk about just one thing, and I think it's the thing that's the beginning of all the other things that we can do to really know Christ. All right, let's pray. Lord, make Bridgeway Church, all the brothers and sisters here, and all of the brothers and sisters who are visiting us this morning, Lord, would you just make us a people who are characterized by a passion to know you? Lord, this year when students at OBU talk about the OBU students that are a part of this community, I just pray that they'd say things like, they're just obsessed with wanting to know Jesus more. When people think about our families and think about us in our workplaces, I just pray that our reputation would be that we just want to know Jesus, that we want to be like Him, that we want to love like Him. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can do that. We can't go and get it. So would you come this morning and just waken us up? Thank you. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Amen. Love it. Well, why this one thing? Quick story. I'm in my 40th year. It's a great year. I love getting older. I just think it just gets more and more fun. Yeah? And so in my 40th year, my sister Kenda and I, where'd she go, Jay? Oh, she's with kids. My sister Ken and I were talking in Colorado as we were climbing this mountain, and we were absolutely dying physically. And we were talking about, and we just got to talking about, you know, what kind of physical health do we want to characterize our, you know, 40s and 50s and that kind of thing. And I just recalled looking at examples of people who I've admired for kind of lifelong fitness. And it seems like they all had one thing in common, the habit of endurance stuff. And most of them, in fact, were runners that I could think of. And I thought of people like Rock Bottomley, you know, who for just a gajillion years just gets up every day and goes and runs. I thought, gosh, well, I want to be vibrant like Rock when I'm Rock's age. And I could think of lots of other examples. So Ken and I committed right there on that mountain that we were going to get started. We were going to do something. We were going to have a goal. And we were going to get started just as soon as we got back and finished the outrageous meals that we were enjoying day and night. And so last June, I went out for my first run. And I committed that I would go run for 20 minutes, and it just about killed me. And the only way I survived was I'd run 2 minutes, and when I say run, it's like you could probably walk faster than this run. But I'd run 2 minutes, I'd walk one. I'd run 2 minutes, I'd walk one. Run two. Eventually, it was 20 minutes, and it was like, thank you, Lord, I survived. I remember childlikely calling Steve Schaefer and saying, Steve, I did it. I did 20 minutes, you know. And this is a guy that, like, does Ironman triathlons and stuff. And he's like, good, you know. But he's an encourager. Well, eventually I would run 5 and I would walk 1. Yeah? Then I'd run 10 and I'd walk 2. And it, I mean, like for long, like days and weeks. We're not talking like immediate, massive progress. But 10 months later, I ran 13 miles without stopping. And y'all believe me, you could do this. But you start with run 2, walk 1. And Lisa Walker and Paul Barcel and others can attest to my 13-mile run because they passed me, you know, at about mile 3, like I was standing still. But it was the Oklahoma City Memorial Half Marathon. Question, who do you want to be like when you grow up? What are they like? Well, I want to be like men and women who are characterized by a hunger for Jesus Christ. I want to look for heroes that know him more, that are changing day after day, year after year. Well, I've met a few of these people in my life. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, I was with a little old lady in her assisted living home, and she just spends time with Jesus all day long. She said, Lance, she said, please tell me how to pray for you. She said, that's my job. She said, that's my assignment in the kingdom, is to pray for people like you. It's what I do all day. Isn't that awesome? And, I want to be like that. This woman is so full of joy, you'd walk in the room and just be like, oh, what feels so good in here? What's the presence of Jesus? It's his joy. It's his peace. Well, I want to be like that. Well, I've known a few people like that. And all of them have this thing in common. They've developed the habit of daily meditating on the life of Jesus in the Scriptures. If you want to be like Jesus, there's no other way than to spend time with him in the Scriptures. It's exactly the experience that Chris was describing this morning. He was saying, I needed to go back to the source. I needed to just not wait and just rely on some wonderful feeling to wash over me. I needed to go back to the truth of who Jesus is and who I am in him. Yeah? Well, that's the thing that I found in common. Are there other ways to see Jesus? Yeah. There's some amazing things. Sometimes Jesus will reveal himself in dreams and visions and crazy supernatural experiences. But you know the one way that the Holy Spirit has ordained for every one of us to meet Jesus is as he's revealed in the Gospels. We get 4 books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all telling the same basic story but from different perspectives with different literary styles. I mean, it's amazing. We can spend a lifetime and it never gets old. It's always fresh. You always find something new. Yeah. You go to John. John's the heart guy. He's the intimacy guy. And you just your heart's just awakened. You go to Matthew, the kingdom perspective, and you say, yes, Jesus, I can change the world with you and by your power. Well, so I want to talk a little bit this morning. You might say, well, Lance, I don't understand the Bible. I don't know what certain words mean. I get bored or I get tired or I get confused. I've tried before to do what Chris was talking about, just to develop the discipline, and it just, you know, it doesn't always make sense to me. Guys, run to walk one. Just get started. We can do this, yeah? Just get started. And I promise you, if you commit to spend time in the Gospels with Jesus Christ, you will be transformed because He'll meet you there. It's His promise. And you say, well, how does that work? How can you make that promise? Well, a couple of things. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 says what? Anybody have that memorized? 2 Timothy 3, 16? If you do, just stand up and go for it. Jamie, come on. Catrice, that was fantastic. And I know you, and I know your love of the Word of God, so my guess is that you just quoted 2 Timothy 3:16 absolutely dead on, and that I've written the wrong reference. Because what I've got... what I've got is all Scripture is God-breathed. Yeah? What's that one? All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. This stuff changes our lives. Yeah? What about Colossians 3:16? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. See, our community, our life together in relationship is based on Jesus and on His word spilling out of us onto each other. You know what we did this morning in worship, and as Chris shared and as Joel shared, as Emery sang, we just got the truth of God in the Scriptures and we just spilled it out all over each other through word and through song. And it changes lives. Life-changing power in the Gospels. Well, Lauren Cunningham is the founder of YWAM, Youth with a Mission, one of the fathers of the modern missions movement. I think, you know, one of the few people that... in our lifetime has as much credibility as anyone to speak to what God's doing in the world today. And he tells a story in his book, The Book That Transforms Nations. And I want to quote him first. He says, when a critical mass of people have the Bible and apply what it teaches in their lives, a nation is transformed. Well, you might think, well, that's a big statement, and how does that really work? Well, I'll tell you one example, and it happened in the nation of Norway. Now, when you think of the nation of Norway, I don't know what you think of, but I think of beautiful people living beautiful lives, a very wealthy country, rich in resources, smart in technology, very progressive culture. And I happen to know some pastors from Norway, and I know that there's a vibrant church in that nation. Yeah? And maybe you know some of that about Norway. But maybe you don't know the story of how Norway came to be that way. And it begins with the story of a guy by the name of Hans Hauge. Do you love saying those Scandinavian names? Everybody say Hans Hauge. Hans Hauge. Okay. Well, Hans was 25, and he lived in Norway in the late 1700s. And Norway was an absolute mess. Deep poverty, starvation everywhere. There was a state church, but it was dead as a hammer. And there was no sense of this being a country rich in any kind of resources. And it was a dilapidated place of a country. Well, Hans Hauge was out in the field one day and he met Jesus. And he met Jesus through the truth expressed in some of the old hymns that he'd heard in this dead state church. And he got a Bible and he began to read about the life of Jesus and began to change him. And he felt called to express this message, this truth of who Jesus was all over the country. It was illegal at that time to go from town to town, especially to go from town to town preaching about Jesus. But he got his hand on the Bible and on Bibles, and he'd go to a little village and he'd give someone a Bible and he'd say, "Get some people around you and you guys read this." Well, he started 2,000 of those little groups. And the nation began to change. And it began to change because as people met Jesus through the Gospels and through the Word, they said, "Wow, Jesus and his life speak to every area of my life. My business, my marriage, my community, government. There's nothing about what it means to be a human being that Jesus doesn't address." People began to start businesses based on biblical principles. The economy began to grow. People began to influence government. And a nation began to change. Well, what God did in Norway through Hans Hauge can happen in your heart and in mine. It can happen in any family, in any city, in any nation that chooses to meet Jesus in the Gospels and begin to live for him. So I want to start together today. For most of us, this is review, maybe. For some of us, today you will meet Jesus for the very first time, and you'll meet him through looking at his life in one scene in the Gospel of Luke. But none of us will be the same 20 minutes from now. You believe that? And you're getting ready to get rocked, not by anything I say, but we're going to go meet with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to be reminded of just what he's like. Susan Munkers, I remember you one time coming up to me on a Sunday. I mean, this is probably 7 years ago. And you said, "I fell in love with Jesus again for the first, all over again today." And that was so precious. And I know you've had that experience a gajillion times. And it's my prayer that we would all have that experience again this morning. Let's just fall in love with Jesus all over again. Why wouldn't we? If his story is so powerful. Well, we're going to look at Luke chapter 7. If you have your Bibles, turn there. If you don't have your Bibles, we're going to put these scriptures up on the screen. But it will be harder, you know what I mean, to do the screen thing. So bring Bibles, really helpful, because every week we use them. If you have a journal, get that out and kind of, you know, get your pen ready, whatever you need to do to kind of prepare to do that stuff. All right, I want you to think of something with me. What are some of the most powerful movie scenes you can think of? Like, what are scenes that you just can't get out of your mind in movies? Braveheart, which one?
Freedom.
Yeah, the whole freedom scene, yeah. Yeah, that will change your life. Susan?
The one out
of Les Mis. The one out of Les Mis?
Where,
yes. Oh, and Liam Neeson is, oh yeah, that's incredible. Les Mis with the candlesticks. I don't know if you guys heard that. What else?
Chariots of Fire.
Chariots of Fire, where he's like talking about,
"I run for the pleasure."
When I run, I can feel his pleasure. Yeah, unbelievable. Life-changing.
August Rush.
Which one, Sam? Yeah, so many. Yeah. Chewbacca? Stephanie, was that you? It was either you or Hannah. What? What'd you say? Yeah. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that scene in Gladiator is so powerful. Guys, here's the point. Our emotions are engaged when we have these vivid pictures, and we remember them for a lifetime, and we remember even the emotion of what it felt. Now, we're going to have to look at this 2,000-year-old book and say, if it's true that we meet Jesus there and we're changed, these are powerful scenes, and we're going to have to engage our imagination and be there so that for the rest of our lives, we always remember this scene in Luke chapter 7. Well, we'll probably just do one scene. I had planned for two. One of them will be homework. How's that? Yeah? We'll do homework this week because you don't have any school homework yet. You get another week on that. All right. Well, let's start with a goal. Yeah, all successful training has some goal in mind. Well, our goal is to know and love Jesus more, to be transformed by Him. That's our goal. So our goal is not to know the Bible. That's a good thing to know the Bible, but that's not our goal this morning. Our goal is to be like Jesus. Jesus absolutely hammered the Pharisees because He said, you made your goal to know the Scriptures instead of knowing the God of the Scriptures. And so when I came, you missed it. I was there all along and you missed me because your goal wasn't to find God. Your goal was to find knowledge. Our goal is to find God. Yeah? So let's start with the right goal in mind. Now, I love Bible study. Love it. Go look at my office and you'll think this guy's a kook for all the books that are around on, you know, about the Bible. And I'm all for Bible reading. I think we should all read big chunks of it. But if we want to meet Jesus in the Bible, we're talking about meditating on the Bible, okay? That means taking little pieces, little scenes, and really letting the Lord speak to us in that, okay? So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to meditate. We're going to try and suck everything we can that God wants for us out of this message. And what we're going to do, I was going to do kind of two different scenes, and we'd do one just kind of by ourselves and one kind of as a group. So those of you who were terrified that I was going to make you do something and interact with people, you just got to get out of jail free card and you can breathe a big sigh of relief, okay? Be honest. No, okay, a few of you willing to admit. All right. So here we go, Luke 7. Don, will you put that? Oh, he's like, I've been there for 5 minutes. All right. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads. And Thomas, let's do something with lights where people who want to still be able to see to write or something can do that, but yet it feels a little more intimate in here. Yeah, that's good. That will work. All right. First, I want to just ask you. I want to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to you in a way that changes you. Just in your own words, just say, Holy Spirit, I want to see Jesus this morning. I need to meet with Him. Now, while you're still in prayer, I want you to just tell God that you're coming to meet with Him and that your heart is open to Him. What that means is we come laying our pride aside. If He wants to convict us of sin, He can do that. If He wants to change us, He can do that. Just in your own words, just tell God your heart's open to Him. He has your permission to change you. Okay, now we're going to read this passage together, this scene from Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. And we're first going to read it out loud together. Now, tomorrow morning, you're going to do this same thing. You're going to read out loud when you're by yourself or with your family, because it just focuses us. It kind of clears the mind clutter to just read out loud. So can we do that together? So everyone will have to kind of do the screen thing for this one so that we're all saying the same stuff. Luke 7, 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went with His disciples to the village of Nain, and a large crowd followed Him. A funeral procession was coming out as He approached the village gate. The young man who had died was a widow's only son, and a large crowd from the village was with her. When the Lord saw her, His heart overflowed with compassion. "Don't cry," He said. Then He walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. "Young man," He said, "I tell you, get up." Then the dead boy sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Great fear swept the crowd, and they praised God, saying, "A mighty prophet has risen among us, and God has visited His people today." And the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Okay. Now, I want you to read through that story now one more time, and I want you to read it silently, and I want you to read it the way you would read a love letter at the height of romance. Read it the way you would read a love letter at the height of romance. In other words, every word is important. Every word is important. You're anxious to get this. All right? So read it again silently as you would read a love letter in the height of romance. All right. If you have your Bibles, you're going to start to use them. If you're using the screen, we're going to kind of flip back and forth between these two screens so that you can keep kind of going over this story. But we're going to begin. We're just going to engage our imagination and our senses. In other words, what does the scene look like? What do you smell? What do you see? What do you hear? Is there anything to taste? Just kind of read back through the story and just engage your imagination and your senses. What's it like to be there? Now, I want you to engage your emotions in the story. Who do you relate to? What emotions are you connected into in the story? What does it feel like? What are the characters that you really can begin to relate to and feel with? What are the words and the phrases that stick out to you? What's the part of this story that you just can't quite get away from? What's Jesus like in this story? What's Jesus like? What he's like in this story is what he's like today. So what's he like? Just ask yourself, what's Jesus like? And then finally, what's Jesus saying to you? What's Jesus saying to you now as you spend time with him in this story? All right, now just take a minute and just in prayer respond to him. Maybe something simple that you need to tell him you've heard from him and you're going to obey him. Maybe you just want to offer a prayer of praise and thanksgiving for some aspect of his character. But whatever you need to do to just respond in prayer, just do that right now. Okay. Thomas, give me some lights. Sorry, you guys, it's either feast or famine with lights in this room, but one day we'll have a happy medium, yeah? Let's take just a minute and debrief. So let me just kind of walk back through. And by the way, would it be helpful if we put those questions that I asked you up on the website? Would that be helpful to have that little flow of... Okay, we'll do that tomorrow. It'll be up there. I just want to ask a few of you extroverts, us introverts will live vicariously through you. Some of those questions, I just want to hear some of your insights and see if the Lord might actually even speak some things corporately to us through each other. As you read the passage, you know, and you tried to engage your imagination, your senses. I mean, what were some of the things that stuck out to you in terms of just stuff that you kind of tasted and touched? And Kelsey? Jesus initiated this incredibly loving, powerful, without her having to earn that. And for those of us, which is all of us, that struggle with performance, you know, that's really freeing. It's exactly what Paul was trying to tell us last week. Thank you, Kelsey. It's good. Yeah. Yeah. Totally hopeless situation. We've already shifted to grief mode, and then Jesus intervenes when you least suspect it. And what he did then, he can do today. Yeah. Amen. Sam? Yeah. Yeah. What Sam said was he was touched by the way that Jesus touched the pallbearers and they stopped. And he said he had a sense that Jesus was saying, whatever deaths you've been carrying, you don't have to carry anymore. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, Chris. Jesus wasn't inconvenienced by her pain. Yeah. He wasn't disappointed in her and her condition and her grief. Yeah. Yeah. Whether or not there was a big crowd watching or not, his heart was for this woman. Yeah. Good. Thank you. What Some of you have already shared this, but who do you relate to in the story? I mean, what really struck you about the characters? Who did you begin to empathize with? Sam said the pallbearers. Marcia, the mother, Carol. Yeah. Yeah. Marcia said, I just, you know, could relate to watching this scene as a disciple. And she said, it's still true that Jesus gives dead children back to their mothers. What a powerful thing. Rick, right on. Rick, just echo what Marcia said, just to see the heart of Jesus for hurting parents. And there was a sense, and we'll do this here in just a minute. We're going to ask for parents who would like prayer for their kids and situations they're going through with their children. We want to pray for you this morning. That'd be an awesome thing to do. Hang on just a second, Jeff. Let me grab one right over here. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so good. So it's not like, don't cry because that's foolish and I'm distant, but I'm going to do this healing miracle. It's like, no, like you don't need to cry. You know, even though I'm weeping with you, I'm going to dry your tears because my compassion goes out to you. Yeah, that's so good. Well, Jeff, you were going to say something, and then we're going to move on to one more question. Yes. Jesus invaded a funeral procession. Yeah, he was Jesus, full of incredible faith, knowing that he'd heard from the Father for this situation. Yeah. Yeah. Let me just ask one more question before we just move to close and have a time of praying around some of these things. What's Jesus like? What's Jesus like? Just a couple of people. What's he like? Sam? He feels our loneliness and wants to deal with it. Yeah. Is he still like that?
Yes.
Yeah. What's he like? Yep. Yeah, he has a heart of compassion for us, and he cares deeply about everything. Brooks. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Jesus is the one who gives new life, who raises dead hearts. Brooke, for those of you who didn't hear, Brooks just gave testimony to the life-changing power of Jesus. Yeah. He's a destiny changer. That's who Jesus is. Beth? Yeah. 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 Jesus still wants to heal and to raise the dead. And the power that we see in this story is the power that is in him and is in us through him. That's what Paul was trying to tell us last week. To know me is to know the power of my resurrection. Jacob, yeah, yeah. He wouldn't leave the mother without hope. Yeah, yeah. One more and then we're going to move on. He was fearless. Yeah, it's right on. He's the fear overcomer. Guys, what he is here, he is today because he's alive. Now just raise your hand if the Lord spoke to you in that story today, if you were able to meet him there today. And are you? Would you say that you're changed? Did we accomplish our goal this morning? Raise your hands if you'd say, like, I'm different. Yeah, I mean, most of us in this room don't know the historical situation behind this story. Most of us in this room have never studied the original language. We don't know what the Greek word for compassion is in this story. Yeah, guys, and all those are good things. It's wonderful to study the Bible in that way. But remember, the Bible is for ordinary people. All of us can pick it up and can meet Jesus there. All of us can pick it up and can meet Jesus there. I want to encourage you, tomorrow morning, we'll all do it together. There's a story in Luke chapter 7 that begins in verse 36, okay? It's about a person just like you and like me, who encounters Jesus. It's about some religious leaders who think that person is unworthy. It's about shame. It's about honor. It's about forgiveness. And probably, if you ask me personally, what are like the biggest scenes in the Gospels? I would say the crucifixion would be the most vivid scene. The Last Supper would probably be, for me, the second. And then this would be third for me in terms of most powerful scenes in the Gospels. So I want to encourage you to just take 15 minutes tomorrow morning and go through this same exercise with this story that begins in verse 36. Now, raise your hand if you commit to do that. I'll do it. Who's with me? All right. This is like run two, walk one, right? And I promise, let's do it for a lifetime. And let's just watch ourselves become different year after year after year. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to be dismissed. Joel, you guys come on up. Will everybody stand with me?